So I'm doing a series titled The Pleasant Life Series, and today we are doing the second part of the Pleasant Life Series. Let me thank the choirs for amazing sessions we have with you. You created the atmosphere. And let me thank the my son, Pastor Titi Ofer, for his worship that opens the floodgates of heaven. Son, thank you very much. God bless you. Next time, I'll give you more time. Eh? Today, I realized that you needed more time. So, next time, I'll give you more time. Okay? Fantastic. But I want all of you to come to Work for the Lord camp meeting. I've been looking around to see you. Choirs, I want to see you. Instrumentalists, all of you are coming to Work for the Lord camp meeting. I want to see all of you from day one. I'm reserving a room for you. So, you guys should come. I'll give you allowances whilst you are at the Work for the Lord camp meeting. Okay? Amen. So, come. No, I didn't say I'm giving the church allowances. So. I said instrumentalists, and the church is clapping for... Okay. So, the main scripture for the Pleasant Life series is our scripture. Psalm 16 is verse 6, not verse 5. Psalm 16, verse 6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Last week, I spoke about the 7 delightful inheritance you must have if you want to enjoy pleasant life. Number one is a worthy life. The Lord must prosper you financially. Number two is a lengthy life. The Lord must cause you to live long. Number three is a healthy life. The Lord must cause you to enjoy good health. Number four is a mighty life. You must overcome every enemy and win victories and take territories. Number five is safety life. The Lord must protect you. You must enjoy divine protection. Number six is a piety life. You must be enabled. God has already enabled you for purity. You are already enabled to walk in holiness and purity. And then number seven, the liberty life. You must walk in freedom, no longer shackled by any curses. So the series will cover all these areas. So last week I started talking on the wealthy life. And today I'm going to try to conclude. So today I'm talking on biblical principles for wealthy living and financial wisdom. Biblical principles for worthy living and financial wisdom. I won't disappoint you if your aim is that I'm going to make declarations that you are going to prosper. The title of the message itself is telling you something. I'm talking about biblical principles. Can I explain something to you? There are a lot of promises in the Bible. A lot of promises concerning your health, concerning your finances, concerning your longevity of life, concerning your children. A lot of promises. But most of these promises are very conditional. Are very, very conditional. Once there is a condition attached to a promise, it becomes a principle. Because that promise with a condition attached is calling upon you, is putting the responsibility to walk in that promise on you. Okay? To walk in that promise on you. If Pastor Titi Ofer will definitely inherit me when I die at 120. Okay? No, that is a life promise. It's a legal promise. But his inheritance of me... So, mommy said, what are you doing there? I think that she's also saying that, what do I inherit? Of course, all of you will do. But his inheritance of me will be based on certain conditions. Conditions that will make it a principle. Son, if you do this and do that and do this and do this... When I die, you have access to this and that and that and that. Okay? A promise becomes a principle if it places a responsibility on you. You know, when you read Deuteronomy 28, there are a lot of promises there. You will be the head and never the tail. You will be above and never beneath. The Lord will bless the works of your hands. But before you get to those places you have been quoted in scriptures, the Bible from the verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28 says, if you obey the laws I am giving you today. Now, immediately it says, if you obey the laws I am giving you today, the Bible is making a set of promises, principles. It places a responsibility upon you. Unfortunately, many pastors have taught the keys to prosperity in the Bible as if they are promises that you can claim overnight. Most preachings and teachings on prosperity are laden with greed. You see, they are preaching greed to you and you are believing it. So at one point, you become very disillusioned. If you don't like the sermon, can you let me stop? Because this noise didn't come throughout. What just happened? This noise didn't come when everybody was doing something. So. Now, there are many people that have become very disillusioned. That I was told if I get born again and I pay my tithe and I do this, the Lord will bless me. And I've been doing this for a number of years and nothing is happening in my life. And nothing is happening in my life. I want to show you why nothing is happening in your life. Because you are treating principles like promises. Are you here? You are treating principles like promises. And I want to show you about 17 principles today that can make you unquestionably prosperous. So let's begin our journey. Now, the introductory scripture for this part is Proverbs 10 verse 15. I'm reading from the Good News Translation. Wealth protects the rich. Poverty destroys the poor. Wealth protects the rich. Poverty destroys the poor. Your dream of becoming a medical doctor. If your parents had money, you would have. Okay, so there's a young man in my house right now who says to me, very intelligent young man. So I gave him the level 6 scholarship. And even in his class, people are talking about how intelligent he is. He's from Benin. He lives with me. So I asked him a question. So what did you want to become? He said, he wanted to become a medical doctor. But he couldn't because of lack of money. See, so you see, poverty destroyed his destiny. But I said to him, can you get your results from Benin for me? Let me see. Because I want to see whether he can live his dream life. To see whether I can put him in medical school and finance it. I'll show you why I do these things. I'll show you why I do these things. There are people that never got married. They were genuinely in love. I know a pastor and his sweetheart, his childhood sweetheart, who couldn't marry because for so many years, the pastor couldn't raise the money for their wedding. And the girl was growing old. So the girl's parents came in and said, no, you cannot wait forever. Another guy married the girl. The girl is married to someone else, but still in love with the pastor. Because poverty destroyed her dream of marrying the love of her life. Poverty is killing you. You are sick. You don't have money to go to hospital. So you are arguing that herbal treatment is better than orthodox treatment. So you are missing some concussions and you are drinking them and you are making argument. You see, and the saddest thing about people that are going through financial crisis is they have this defensive, they want to justify their financial difficulties. They can drive past in front of a rich person's house and see how the place is gated and dogs are in the house. And they will say, oh, look at rich people cannot sleep. They are afraid of armed robbers. We poor people, who will steal from us? Who will steal from us? Satan has already stolen from you. So an armed robber doesn't need to come and steal from you. Are you here? I do not want you to justify poverty. It destroys. It kills and destroys. You see the battles going on in Israel. All the rich people will fly their families out. It's only the poor that will be killed and be massacred and die. You see, when we are having elections in this country, this coming in the 2024, try and make it your duty to monitor the children of the big people. See where they vote and how they, and you will see the poor will kill. The poor will kill. And they'll be beaten. The recent by-election in one of the constituencies where 8 people died, not one single rich person's child was among the 8 people. Poverty is a destroyer. Financial adversity is a destroyer. It will destroy your dream. It will destroy your ambition. It will kill your initiatives. It will make you a servant forever. But you see, when we preach prosperity, it is the poor in the church that will tell us that this church, we talk too much about money. It's the poor that will say that. Because you see, when you teach about prosperity, it reminds the poor of their poverty and makes them feel guilty, so they fight it. I hear people go around saying that Africa, we pray a lot, but we are poor. Well, the white people don't pray, but they are rich. Well, I studied in Europe, in a mission school in Europe. I know the content of the white man's prayer and the content of the African man's prayer. When you are praying, 90% of your prayer is focused on witches and wizards. You can prosper with that kind of... Is the content of your prayer that determines the answer? Whereas the white people will be praying and saying, Lord, give us ideas to rule the world. Give me an idea to do this. Let me love you. Let me serve you. Let me do this. Let me do that. You will find an African Christian who is going 3 hours non-stop prayer, which is fine. But it's the content of the prayer that at the end of the day will determine how efficient and effective you become. I'm killing the witches in my father's household. Ayo. For 3 solid hours. I believe it. We are doing 30 days of fasting and prayer. We'll still deal with witches and wizards. But they cannot take all the 3 hours. Okay? So these principles I'm going to share with you, if they become the content of your prayer and the content of your behavior, if they are part of your everyday decisions and choices, I can tell you that you will prosper. The law of legitimacy states that. It's my own law. It's called the law of legitimacy. You cannot talk about what you have not successfully practiced. Otrofo eno se na dance ni, na dance ni. It's a liar who says that my witness has traveled. But me, I'm here. I'm your witness. I am your witness. The first dining hall table we got on the Sprinters Road here was given to us by Mrs. Labby and the late husband. Our first dining hall table was given to us by Mrs. Labby and the late husband. Was Auntie Becky, who used to go to market and will market some for us. And they used to steal fufu and bring it to us on Sunday. Every Sunday we'll be waiting for, but there was a hindrance to the fufu coming. So we wait, sir, and then it will come. But they look at us, principles. I've never had one major prophet call me and say, "Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord." I follow the principles of God, the precepts of God, the promises of God, the prophetic direction in the Bible. I have followed it. I've tried in my own special grace that God has given me, enabled right. You see, holiness is enabled by righteousness. Okay? So you were made righteous even before you did anything right, so that you can live a holy life. Okay? And these things have really contributed to who I've become and what I've become. So let's take these principles. Now, those of you who are here, who come to church from kiosk, and all those things, don't look down upon yourself. I came here living an uncompleted building. I was like you in this community. But these principles will help you. These principles will help you. Principle number one, the principle of hard work. The principle of hard work. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Good News Translation. Being lazy will make you poor. Hard work will make you rich. This way, I don't have to explain it again. These are not magical words. They are English words written in the Bible. Being lazy will make you poor, but hard work will make you rich. This week, I had a meeting. Okay, last week, on Friday morning, I had a meeting with a director general of one of the biggest institutions in the country. I called him 2 days before the meeting, and he said to me, "Oh, Bishop, if you want to see me, I'll be in the office from 6 a.m. He'll be in the office from 6. So I called someone. I said, "This man is going to be in the office at 6 a.m. He said, "I can see him from 6 a.m. Why does he come to office early like that?" He says he lives at a place that if he doesn't beat the traffic by 5 a.m., he cannot reach the office on time. There are people here, sitting here. When a director general has to leave 5 a.m. to arrive on time in the office. And you are going for an interview. You have come for an anointing. And yet you arrive late and your excuse is that there is traffic. I was in traffic. You see, it's a sign that you are, listen, I have some friends. All my friends are older than me. And all my friends are very solid people who have built houses, who own cars, whose children are studying outside. I'm not talking about my pastoral friends. I'm talking about non-pastoral friends. Some of them are my mentors. One of them is about 70 years old. Anytime I call him to have a meeting with him, he will tell me, he lives on the Sprinters Road here, he will tell me, "Bishop, if you get to my house at 7 a.m., I'll be there. Other than that, meet me at 9 p.m. in my house." So he leaves home by 7 and comes home, back home in the evening by 9. One president of a university, very thriving university in this country, he's about 60. I called him. "That prof, I want to come and see you." He says, "Well, I'll be in the office by 7 a.m., but if you cannot come before 9, then meet me in the office after 7 p.m. Because between 7 a.m. and 9, I'm free. After 7 p.m., I'm free." So I said, "7 p.m., where do I meet you?" He said, "Same office." That man, after 60 years, is in the office by 7 a.m. and will leave after 7 p.m. And you, yesterday, where did you spend your life? Sleeping? Yesterday, where did you spend your life? On phone. Every day you are tired. Every day you have an excuse for not doing something. Your own room, your own little room, you can't face it. You can't face it. Even to take your bath is a problem. I am telling you, to take your bath is a problem. And you are doing 21-day fast to prosper. The key to prosperity is not in hard prayer, it's in hard work. It's in hard work. I have done this. over 20 something years, mommy and I have been here. We've been working hard and working hard and working hard. Over 20 something years. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. NIV. Whatever your hand finds to do. So first, your hand must go and find something. Must go and find something. Whatever your hands finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going to the realm of the dead. Where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. See what the Bible is saying. Those of you who think that, oh, all these things, we are safe for the all these cars we are buying, all these houses we are building, when we die, we won't take it with us. We won't. The Bible is not making that argument. The Bible says whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your mind, because in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is no work. In the realm of the dead where you are going, there is no work. So you cannot say that, oh, the Bible is commanding you to work hard whilst you are here. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. With all your might. With all your might. Too many excuses. And my boss is not good. And my boss is not paying me well. And my boss is like this. And my boss is like this. And my child was sick. And my head was aching. That's why I came. And some of you sitting here, when people come, you are part of the association of lazy people. So when one of them come to you and tell you that I went to the office, I was just 30 minutes late, oh, 30 minutes late, and Bishop sacked me. Oh, 30 minutes late. We are suffering from a headache. Only 30 minutes late, and Bishop sacked you. And Bishop Anyade, Bishop Apam, the church member, oh yeah, 30 minutes per, 30 minutes per, 30 minutes per. It's because, you know how much 30 minutes will cost me? I am valued $2,000 per hour. I think I'm even bigger than that now. Yeah. That was years ago. Charles knows. Years ago, I was valued $2,000 per hour. So my 30 minutes is what? It's $1,000. Maybe your 30 minutes is one CD. So you don't see the value of that 30 minutes. You do not see the value of that 30 minutes. To preach this sermon, mommy has been awake since 3 a.m. I've been awake the whole night just to come here and preach this sermon to you. What are you talking about? Look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, 10 to 13. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. I am telling you, most people who say they can't find job is because they are unwilling to work. Unwilling to work. Please note that I was not born into riches, but I was willing to work. I lived with this man when I was 22 years old going to Bible school. And he would tell you my work attitude at that time. As a young pastor, holding youth conferences, youth marriage conferences, praying in the middle of the night. There is no job, there is no job. Pay tithe, I don't work. Pay contribution in the choir, I am not working. Pay contribution in the women's fellowship. I am not working. Do this. I am not working. Do that. I am not working. Do this. I am not working. You are unwilling to work. And the sign that right from the onset, you have been unwilling to work is because as we sit here, you do not have an academic qualification. Neither do you have a skill. You are not a hairdresser. And you are not a human resource. Be a human resource. You are not a graduate and you are not a hairdresser. You are a graduate of nothing. Except maybe graduate of boyfriends or graduate of girlfriends. You are a graduate of nothing. And it's a sign that you are unwilling to work. You are unwilling to work. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. They are busybodies. And do you know what busybodies do? Do you know their work? They talk about people. They have no business, so they interfere in other people's businesses. Whatever does not contribute to my purpose in life, I don't get involved. I am too busy to be a busybody. Such people we command. You see, such people we command and urge in the name, in the Lord Jesus. We command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. At least the food you eat, you must earn it. The food you eat, you must earn it. You must earn it. The food you eat, you must earn it. Don't behave like a story I heard about Kwaku Anansi. Who was, oh, do you know Kwaku Anansi? Kwaku Anansi, the spider, eh? Spider in our local stories is very popular. He was always a bad guy. He will wait for his friend's food to be ready and then he will show up. At least what you will eat, you must earn it. So everybody who can pay school fees, that's all right. You can ask for help. But what you will eat, you must earn it. If you come to that place that even what you will eat, you have to borrow to eat, and your appetite is large too, and where you want to eat, Lord help us. Number two, principle number two, the principle of savings. The principle of savings. Proverbs 13 verse 11, NIV. Dishonest money dwindles away. In other words, 419 money dwindles away. But whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So when I'm gathering my money little by little, and you are just eating your own nyafu nyafu, you cannot turn around and come to me and tell me to give you money. I will not finance a lifestyle I do not lead myself. Everybody who has money did not pluck the monies from trees. The person knew how to save and saved little by little, not big by big. I'm saying that if you come to that conclusion that you earn too little to save, you are finished. Beginning of this series or so, no, not beginning, but before this series on the fruitfulness, listen, I told you that in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that every fruit bearing seed. So every fruit you get has seed in it. You're trying to eat watermelon. It's not a very easy thing. Every bite of watermelon comes with a number of seeds. In other words, just one, that one watermelon, if you take all those seeds out and you plant them, you can have a whole farm of watermelon. The way we eat watermelon is the way we eat our money. We eat it. And then the seeds will come into our mouth. If you eat your food and waste your seed, you will never in your life prosper. I'm saying that less than 1% of the money I get, I spend. 99.something% of the money that comes to me, I put back into my business. I put back into my business. And I'll show you why as we go on. I've used one car for over 7 years. Recently, it left me somewhere. It was Archbishop that sent a car to pick me. It was Archbishop Duncan Williams who gave me a car to come home. Then when I was coming, he said, Titi, you need more than one of these cars. I said, Papa, thank you, but I won't buy more than one. I said it in my mind. Nobody should tell him I said that. I told you that I said that in my mind. I've never owned more than two cars in my life before. For what reason? One goes somewhere and one goes somewhere. I've been using four wheels because of the roads, but I'm even beginning to think. Right now, I'm beginning to think that I want to even change the cars I use. I want to start using saloons. You see me coming to church in Toyota Yaris. Kia what? Kia Sorento or something. I honestly don't understand why some of you have two cars and three cars in your house, and people come and you are showing them and they are happy. Oh, Charlie, this is your car. Say, oh, this is my new babe. This is my new baby. And this is my new baby. And your children are in primary school. And you have babes. You have lined them up. And you are showing it around. I'll come and talk to you about the cost of reputation. Number three, the principle of ability. The principle of ability. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God from the NIV. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Every one of us here have something we call talent. If you discover it, you develop it, and you sell it, you prosper. I said, I think, that's why I'm a consultant. I think, I write, I speak. From now till December, I have, how many speaking engagements do I have, church? A lot of them, about 6-7 speaking engagements. A lot of them, and every one of them will bring huge check into my account. Because I've developed my ability to communicate. And people love the things I share. People love the things I share. See the things I'm sharing with you. In a conference, people will pay money to listen to me share these things. So today, if you give an offering of one CD, what a church, what a church. Are you here? Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Everybody. So I speak, I write, and I think. So Accra Business School is my thinking. Everybody you see coming to Accra Business School and paying for it is buying my thinking. What is your ability? You are something. You can cook. Set a small table and cook and sell and make money from it. God has already given you the ability to produce wealth. Stop worrying him with, Lord, have mercy. Give me money. Have mercy. I never, in Jesus' time, did Jesus ever give any money to anybody? The first time I saw Jesus holding money was when he was questioned, when he said, they said you should pay tax. Even that one, it wasn't easy. Wasn't, I think he took it from a fish, eh? Or from someone. I think there are two stories. One, he took it from someone and showed it. He didn't carry money with him. Jesus was not dashing money like I do. I had to learn that thing from Jesus. Yeah. He always felt that people must be responsible. Remember when he converted small bread and fish into a massive eating? When it was left, he said, gather everything. Nothing should be wasted. And they got 12 baskets left. Remember, me and I used to eat at restaurants a lot. I was always fighting her over the tips she gives. Even then, we still fight sometimes. Mommy can give a waiter a tip that is a construction worker's full day income. That is not giving, that is wasting. It's the reason why it is called tip, not salary. Check the English word tip. Tip means small. It means little. Somebody directs mommy, park your car here. Mommy says, oh, thank you. Opens a bag. And boom. I'm forming the menopause husband support group. Do you understand? When we were very, very poor, eh? When we were very, very, very poor, mommy and I would sit in trotro. And the mate would say that the small money I've managed to give the mate would not tell me there is no change. I said, no, the trotro is not moving until I get my change. And mommy will say, you are embarrassing me, you are embarrassing. Little by little, I have grown money. Little by little, I have grown money. Little drops of water will make a mighty ocean. I have sharpened my ability to produce wealth, and I am producing wealth. So when you come and you are looking for help, I want to help you sharpen your ability. That's why I give a lot of scholarships. That's why I give a lot of scholarships. But you know something? To the poor, money is cash. To the rich, money is anything that has monetary value. There are people in this church that do not appreciate what I've done for them because I did not give them cash. I gave them education. I gave them something that has monetary value. So they don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate. There are people whose children are in TCIs for 50% scholarship. They don't appreciate it. And they can still be offended that they needed money and we did not help. Because for them, money is cash. Money is not anything that has monetary value. Money is cash. Like the woman who, the prophet's wife, whose husband died, and they came to take herself, her two children, and went to the man of God. Why the man of God? The man of God, what do you have in your house? Say, I have only little oil. The man of God, that is money. Bring it, let me multiply it for you. And go and sell it. The man of God didn't go into the offering to give money. The man of God said, you have something that is money, but you just simply don't know. One lady used to be in this church. She came to me for a loan. She had four children. The husband had abandoned them. She had an idea. And came to me and said, oh, she has a car and she was going to leave the car as security for 6 months if I gave her that money. But I said, if I give you that money and you can pay me in 6 months and the money is equal to the value of the car, then why do you want a loan? Why don't you sell the car? Because you are going to park the car with me for 6 months. Sell the car and use the car to do business. And after 6 months, buy a new car. And it happened. She sold the car, used the car to do the business. After 6 months, bought a new car and came to thank me. But she thanked me verbally, not with anything. And pastors, we don't like verbal thanking. Am I teaching you something here? There's so many things you have that you can use. They are money. David did not see Goliath as a giant. He saw him as money. He said, what will be done for the man who kills this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, you will marry the king's daughter. You will be exempted from taxes. And you will eat at the king's table. He said, I will fight him. His brother said, David, don't try. He said, no, I'll fight him. To marry the king's daughter, exempted from taxes, and eat at the king's table. I'll fight him. I'll fight. This is money. This is not giant. This is money. This is not giant. This is money. It's not giant. So God has given the ability. Your ability to make money is there. It's there. Look for it. Discover it. Use it. When you come to me, you want me to sponsor your ability. I will sponsor it. I will sponsor your ability. But I will not sponsor your availability. You are there doing nothing. All you have is time. You have too much time. Do you know that if this world is boring for you, if this world is boring and you feel lonely, because you have too much time unoccupied. You're idle. Too much time unoccupied. Me and mommy, we live in the same place, work in the same place. The same with our house is where our business is. Sometimes, in the morning when we say goodbye, we meet in the evening. We live in the same house. She has to call me, where are you? I have to call her, where? Then we find ourselves within the facility. Sometimes, when I'm missing her, she's not coming. I'll go to her office to go and disrupt her meeting. Go and sit down and say, Ra, pony and coffee. So that she can also call me in the middle of the meeting. It's okay. You are tired. Come home. After when she's looking for me, she pretends I'm tired. You are tired. Come home. You are tired. She defines tiredness for me. You understand? We are busy people. We don't have time to sit down. We are not selling our availability. We are selling our ability. Okay? Number four, the principle of obedience. The principle of obedience. Psalm 128 verse 1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Job 22 verse 21. Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Job 36 verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. It's the story of me and mommy. We have obeyed and we have served him. When we preach against sin and then you are angry. As if we but yeah, obedience to God will make you prosper. Will make you prosper. Obedience to God will make you prosper. There are two types of obedience. The logos obedience and the rhema obedience. The logos obedience is reading the word and every instruction in it you must obey. But sometimes God can give you an instruction. Like I told you, when God told me that my place of abundance was not in Europe, but was in Ghana. And I left Europe and came to live here. I obeyed the voice of God. Today, look at what God has done. Look at what God has done. Walk in disobedience. Let that boy be sleeping with you and give you 5 cities. You are mortgaging your prosperity. Sleep with that girl. You sleep with those prostitutes. Be smoking, be drinking. Be doing all the things you are doing. I'm telling you. I mean, some of you think that you are serving God and nothing is happening. Go stand in front of the mirror. God does not owe you gratitude. God does not owe you anything. What is happening is that you are disobeying him. And you cannot disobey him and prosper. You cannot disobey. At least if the prosperity is genuine. There is no genuine prosperity from the Lord that comes to the disobedient. It cannot come to the disobedient. So the financial crisis you are going through, go and sit down, compare your life to the Bible. And you see that it's not anybody, it's not the spirit of poverty attacking your finances. It is the Lord himself disciplining you. Number five, the principle of parental instructions. The principle of parental instructions. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 from the NIV. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. I talk a lot to my children. Me and my children, conversations, we talk a lot. We can talk into midnight. Instructions, discipline, orders, commendation, condemnation, I put all together. If you do what is well, I commend you. If you do what is bad, I condemn you. I show you principles to follow. As far as you live in my house and you breathe the air in my house, just the air in my house that you breathe, you must obey me. Even if you leave my house, as far as I give birth to you, Pastor Titi Ofe, Mami Sewa Titi Ofe. Today I give her some, this morning I give you some order. A very difficult one, Mami Sewa. A very, very difficult one. Hey, very, very difficult one. It has to do with midnight prayers. So until I hear your midnight cries in this house, you cannot do this, and you cannot do this, and you cannot do this. Sometimes I'll call Pastor Titi Ofe, sit him down, and say, son, but thank God Pastor Titi Ofe is very obedient, very humble person. I sit him down and say, son, you can't do this way. You can't do this one this way. You can't do it. You understand? I give him. And last time he called his siblings, he was telling his siblings. He came to tell me later. So he was telling his siblings that, see, when I was growing up, I think daddy was straighter than now. I think daddy is cooler and other things. But I think that now I look at my life and I look at the life of my friends and what they do with their lives. And I thank God that I had daddy giving me those instructions. You have no elderly person in your life that instructs you. No fatherly figure in your life that instructs you. And I mentioned to you, vagabonds and tramps in church. That the reason why God brought you to church is so that God can give you a second chance at fathering. A second chance at fathering. I am your father. You don't have to like me to be your father. I don't think all my children love me. I was going to say, I don't think all my children love me. Yeah. Yesterday, I had a fight with my 14-year-old daughter. Very serious one. She came home over the weekend, came to her mom. Mommy, can I get my phone? I said, no, you're not getting phone until after A-levels. She was standing, looking at me. Then, she started crying. I said, why are you crying? She said, I earned that phone. Pastor Titi Ofed told me to do something about my academics. And I did it. And he bought it for me. So I earned it. So she felt I was punishing her for something she earned. I said, oh, so now we are going to move. This house is going to be based on merits, eh? I said, what did you do before I paid for you to go on vacation? This summer alone, you, small girl, you are going on vacation 2 times. What did you do? You do wash for me? You do cook for me? No, my daughter, who can only cook Milo, is the one I'm talking about. Did you cook for me? You do wash for me? I said, what I do for you is not based on merit. It's based on the fact that I'm your father. And what the obedience you give me is not based on merit. It's based on the fact that I'm your father. I give you instructions, you take those instructions. You understand? Don't ever go out there and start saying that by the age of 18, I was already in the street. By the age of 18, I was... Street is not, you're surviving on the street, it's not an achievement. Surviving in the lecture hall is an achievement. Surviving in an office is an achievement. Surviving in a workplace is an achievement. Not a street. Not on the street. That's why you don't comb your hair when you bath. All this attitude you come to church with, all these earrings in your ears that you come, they're all streetism. Yeah. Daddy, you're coming to my office. You're walking. Daddy, is my daddy in the house? Where is my daddy? If you're coming to borrow money, you are still being street. Daddy, your son, I've been eating for a long time. Oh, I have been eating. I'm telling you what I see all the time. Some of the boys will come, daddy, your son, today if you don't give me something, I won't eat. I said, me myself, I've been eating. How can I give my money to a vagabond? To a vagabond. And you see their lips, thick and black. If you give them, they are going to smoke. If you give them, they are going to buy weed. I am your father. I'm giving you instructions. And these 12 principles are instructions. These 17 principles, I think I'll teach half and continue with the rest. If the whole pleasant life is even based on a worthy life, we'll be fine. The sixth principle is the wisdom principle, the principle of wisdom. The principle of wisdom, the principle of wisdom, the principle of wisdom. Proverbs 8, 12 to 18. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. No, to dwell together with prudence. And write the word prudence. I possess knowledge, right? Knowledge and discretion, right? Discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance. That is wisdom talking, you know. Wisdom is talking. You don't say, I hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance. Evil behavior and perverse speech. It's a hard counsel, write counsel down. And sound judgment, write it down, are mine. I have insight, write it down. These are I have power. These are the 7 pillars of wisdom. Prudence, knowledge, discretion, counsel, sound judgment, insight, and power. If you have these 3 things, you will never, these 7 things, you will never be poor. You succeed in everything. Say, by me, look at this. By me, kings reign. and rulers issue decrees that are just. I just finished a book. I think it's titled Wisdom at the Helm of Affairs. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, wisdom is talking, and those who seek me, find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity, with wisdom. The Bible says, of what use is money in the hands of a fool? It's in the Bible. Of what use is money in the hands of a fool? He will kill himself. If we give a foolish person money, it's like handling over knife to the hands of a child. So you have to pray for wisdom, divine wisdom. You have to pray. And you have to pray. In my new book coming out, Wisdom at the Helm of Affairs, when you get it, I have discussed these seven pillars in details. But our theme for next year is wisdom. And I'm going to teach from two books. Wisdom at the Helm of Affairs. And then the second book is The Mind in Charge. The Mind in Charge. I'm going to teach from these two books the whole of next year. Whole of next year. And I expect those of you who are matured in this church to support me, because over 74% of the population of this country are youth. So this church must take on the strategy to build the youth people. So the sermon I preach might not necessarily, some of you are not in this church for me to pastor you. You are in this church to join me pastor the young people. Whilst I will pastor you, you are joining me. So I'm pastoring with you. You must adopt young people and make them your mentees and mentor them. And mentor them well. Some of you have passed where you called me and said that they did not visit me. And I wanted prayer. They did not pray for me. And I'm not. And they are not doing Battle of Champions again. I've already made you a champion. Do the battle in your bedroom. Yeah. Unless during those days, you were not following the things I taught you. So let me end on the seventh principle. And then next week, we'll continue. The principle of partnership. The principle of partnership. The principle of partnership. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. Two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. The immediate and the easiest example I can give you is the relationship with my wife, mommy and I. Solid partners. I'm telling you, we are not just married people. We are business partners. We are pastoring partners. We are parental partners. Our children cannot divide us. If mommy says no, you cannot get me to say yes. Sometimes they go to mommy, they ask something. Mommy say, go and ask daddy. Then they come to me and ask me, I say, go and ask mommy. Then they will say, but I went to mommy's house to come and ask you. So I said, go and ask. Okay, let's meet. You can't divide us. Mommy's family cannot divide us. My family cannot divide us. We are powerful, solid. What unites us is more than what divides us. When I started African Center for Leadership and Human Resource Development, mommy was there, this thing. Charles was running around. Mommy was in charge of the finance, and I was in charge of lecturing. To see our combination, to see the way we put ourselves together and immerse ourselves into the things we are doing, we did. And now we are here. Mommy's running a secondary school. I'm running Accra Business School. As some of you know, that mommy runs this church better than me. I've asked her, why wouldn't you be the resident pastor of the church? Because she's the one who is calling people. There's funeral, putting teams together. Have I ever called any of you that somebody is dead? If we should go, I will even forget that your relative is dead. Mommy is the one who does. Mommy is always following me and making sure that everything I have not cut well, she's helping me to cut it correct. All the parts. You see, the path cutter does not know the many bends in his at his back. Somebody must follow and cut it. But you see, the uniqueness about building partners, especially in marriage, is how to discover the strength of your spouse. I'm a leader. Mommy is a manager. I wanted to move mommy to become a leader. We used to fight over her approach to things. Until one day the Lord said, I gave you somebody that compliments you. Where you are weak is where she is strong. And you want to use your strength to measure her. Then I stopped worrying her. I'm telling you, the way mommy runs my home, the way mommy raises my children, the way mommy organizes morning devotion and does things in my home is amazing. Because you see, pastors, we spend time building people outside and we can leave our home. But I have a woman who I don't worry myself over anything in my house. I don't concern myself with anything in my house. Mommy is there, a solid partnership. Strong. That's what I was telling my daughter, Mommy said, say, if you want to become successful in marriage and get a man to love you the way I love your mom, you have your mom as your blueprint. Do everything you have seen her do for me. Pray like her, serve God like her, serve. I mean, if you see mommy by my food, you know, I don't remember the last time I brushed my hair. When I finish bathing and mommy is at downstairs at the hall, I'll take my brush and take my cream and go to mommy. She says, I don't know how to comb my hair. So I go and give it to her. And while she's, don't worry, mommy is creaming my hair, she'll be massaging it. She can take 30 minutes, massage it, and be speaking in tongues. Yeah, I'm telling you. My mom is here, she can testify. My relatives are here. You are here. You've seen how mommy honors me and values me and virtually worships me. You understand? And I do same for her. I do same for her. The ladies in this church, if you want to really succeed in your marriage, just copy mommy. Just copy. There's nothing wrong in copying. Recently, she says, I'm working too much. She took a car and went to report me to someone. Yeah, that's the way, that's how far she protects me. Okay? Now, beyond marriage, build friendships and partnerships with people. Listen, if your partners are people that you drink with and smoke weed with together, if I'm smoking weed and you're also smoking weed, you have to understand that we are in danger. Two mad people. Two mad people. Nobody will come out with any this thing. Build friendship with people that can bring to you your social capital, your network determines your net wealth. And you have to make, be intentional about the choice of friends. Be intentional about who wants to become your friend and who should not become your friend. I am intentional in this church. You know, everybody that can come close to me. But there are others that me, myself, I will call to come close to me. I'm intentional about it. Don't let any waste of life waste your time. Some people have wasted their life. They have wasted their life and now they want to waste your time. Don't allow that to happen. Never ever allow that to happen. You have to check. You have to check whether that friend in your life is a burden or not. If it's a burden, get rid of him. Get rid. Redefine relationships. Don't let people's success threaten you. Look for successful people and associate with them. It is better to be last running with tortoises, running with horses. It is better to be last running with horses than to be first running with tortoises. Thank you. God bless you for joining me. We shall continue next week. Lift up your hands and pray that let the word of God have impact on your life. Let the word of God have impact on your life. Let the word of the Lord have absolute impact on your life. Lift up your voice and pray. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord, let your word have impact on my life. Let me be imparted by your word. Lift up your voice and pray. Shabro Mandi Bandi. Let your word impart our lives, Lord. Let your word impart our lives, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the adorations, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please take your seat in the beauty of holiness.